Hi there, Sandbox Radio listeners, and welcome to the podcast of our 2018 Halloween show, Here Be Monsters, recorded in front of a live audience at the Bathhouse Theater in Seattle on October 29th. Coming up in this episode, we meet the real Barbie, go on a post-apocalyptic trek to Greenland, and the Sandbox Radio team brings you Lewis Carroll's Jabberwocky, plus much, much more, featuring poet Damon Arundel, and spooky fun with our favorite writer and librarian, the one and only Nancy Pearl. So sit back and get ready, because here be monsters.
Sandbox Radio, we'll stay all day. In the backyard, we'll play. Jump into our sandbox.
We build castles and kings, words become things.
Sandbox Radio. Sandbox Radio.
Tonight's episode, new works by Rachel Atkin, Scott Augustin, Lisa Halpern, and Elizabeth Heffron, with special guests, writer and performance poet Damon Arundel! Seattle's rock star librarian, Nancy Pearl! Oh, and so much more. Plus, all your favorite Sandbox Radio player. And Joshua Carter and Charles Leggett join the Sandbox Radio Orchestra. Led by our maestro and composer, Jose Juicy Gonzalez. So, sit back and relax as we take you into the world of Sandbox Radio Live.
Sandbox Radio.
I'm too creeped out to go in there.
You promised you win a major best friend award for this.
This is scarier than a haunted house. I swore I'd never go into a Walmart. Listen to the chomping of those kids cramming candy in their mouths. Disgusting.
That's not strictly a Walmart thing. That's a universal kid and candy thing.
There's still time to save yourself. There are so many reasons you should never shop here. They use child labor in foreign countries, underpay women, neglect pregnant workers, discriminate against differently abled and elderly workers, and are notorious for wage theft.
I know that this goes against our values, and I promise I'll donate to a nonprofit organization as penance for shopping here. It's just that the Halloween Barbie costume is sold out everywhere else, and Lulu says she's never coming out of her room again unless I find it for her.
Are you sure that's such a bad thing? Lulu's been a bit screechy and unreasonable lately.
And your kid's Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Anyway, you know you need to get candy.
True.
But why you always get candy corn and black licorice is beyond me.
If I don't get those, I end up eating entire bags of candy in one sitting.
You still end up doing that. You just suffer through the worst tasting candy known to humankind when you could be hating yourself over Snickers and Reese's. Okay, I'm going in. You with me?
You owe me. Creepy.
Clean up on aisle 13. That's clean up on aisle 13.
Oh, excuse me.
Can I help you?
Where are the Halloween costumes?
Aisle 12.
Thanks.
Why did I let you drag me here?
Help me look. Yoo-hoo. Excuse me. Hello. Can anybody hear me?
Yeah.
Oh!
Where are the Halloween Barbie costumes? I called the manager. He said you had plenty.
We did, but we sold out. Bummer. You shouldn't have waited till today.
Thanks so much for your helpful customer service tips. I'd like to speak with the manager. He said he'd put one on hold for me if you started running low.
He got busy.
I'm not leaving until I talk to him.
Fine. Jeez. Manager needed on 12. Crazy on 12.
Hey, apologize to my friend. Get back here, you.
Oh, for God's sake. Oh, maybe there's one hidden in here somewhere.
Trouble aisle 13. Trouble aisle 13.
You notice that all the cleanup and stuff is happening on aisle 13?
I hadn't noticed.
Well, guess what? There is no aisle 13. I just ran past where it would be if there was one. Just like how some buildings don't have a 13th floor.
Weird.
Maybe this is all a sign from the universe. We shouldn't be here and...
What? Oh, I know that look.
It's just... Barbie. I just cringe at the idea of your daughter being corrupted by Barbie.
What are you talking about? Barbie really shaped who I am. I got my first Barbie when I was 6. Day to night, Barbie. I loved her.
And you've been wearing high heels and flat ironing your hair ever since.
What's wrong with that?
You've had chronic foot pain and the world has never seen your gorgeous curly hair.
When I die, bury me in Birkenstock and curls. Till then, I'm a Barbie girl. Oh, I love her. I had Barbie's dream mansion, Barbie's Corvette, Barbie's European vacation.
Jeez, what didn't Barbie have? That bitch had everything.
Don't say Barbie's name in vain. I've got over 100 Barbies in my collection.
You do? I can't believe you never showed them to me.
Well, I can't. They're in a storage unit somewhere in Idaho.
Clean up aisle 13. Clean up aisle 13.
What the hell with aisle 13?
Ugh, where the hell is the manager? Anyway, no need to worry about me. Well, there's no denying that on her evolution from princess to surgeon, Barbie's had a few brushes with controversy. I'm not the only one who loves her. It may surprise you to know that every year there's a National Barbie Convention. There's even a National Barbie Day.
Let me guess. You all celebrate by wearing tight clothes and sky-high heels while aspiring to unrealistic body standards?
It's not that bad.
No. What about those people who spend $500,000 on plastic surgery to look like Barbie?
To each their own. Maybe you'd be down with the whole Barbie thing if they made an average Barbie.
I would. I really would.
Restock aisle 13, please. Restock aisle 13.
There is no aisle 13!
Just face it, Barbie's got a cult following that rivals the Grateful Dead. And by all that is holy, I'm gonna find our storage unit someday.
I bet if those Barbies and your storage unit could talk, they'd tell you a thing or two about a thing or two. I wish those Barbies could talk.
Oh my gosh, a Barbie parade, wow! You guys look awesome. Where did you come from?
Aisle 13.
Aisle 13, but...
How cool. I wonder why the store didn't advertise the parade.
This isn't about the store, Jenna. This is about you.
How do you know my name?
We've known your name since you were 6, doll.
Wait. Aren't you Slumber Party Barbie?
That's me. I came with everything needed for an epic night with my best pals. Pajamas, curlers, bobby pins, a brush, a scale permanently set to 110 pounds, and a book called How to Lose Weight. The only advice it offered, don't eat.
Seriously?
Oh, she's serious. Kissing Barbie here. With me, you get real lipstick. The box read, make her kiss. See her lips pucker. Hear the sound. See the lipstick mark. Because God knows every woman and girl wears lipstick, right?
Teen Talk Barbie here. It's bad enough that my main phrases include, will we ever have enough clothes? And I love shopping. But the American Association of University Women was deeply grossed out by the things I say, like, math class is rough.
Hi, I'm Barbie's new friend, Share a Smile Becky. The company was trying to be more inclusive, so they put me in this wheelchair. Then a 17-year-old high school student with cerebral palsy noticed that my chair didn't fit through Barbie's dream house door. But I'm supposed to smile anyway. What a load, huh?
Totally. Sorry, Becky.
Oh, down boy. Sorry about that. I'm forever Barbie with Tanner the dog. I loved being a professional dog walker. Tanner could eat and poop, so I could pick it up with a scooper. Good times. But the magnetic poop nuggets were a choking hazard, so me and my pup were recalled. I'm fondly remembered as Pooper Scooper Barbie.
Oh, what about Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds Barbie, McDonald's Drive-Thru Barbie, oh, and Computer Engineer Barbie?
We're here!
In the book that came with me called Barbie, I can be a computer engineer. I try to create a computer game, but I'm only capable of coming up with the design. I need the help of 2 men to do the coding. I also give my friend Skipper's computer a virus, and the 2 dudes save the day. Lucky me, right?
I read about that. The backlash was ginormous. So why wasn't there an MBA Barbie? I mean, really?
Because we were created to get our MRS degree.
I never thought of it that way, but I mean... Ken's a cool dude, right?
Ken, please, don't get me started.
Wait, what's wrong with Barbie and Ken?
Everything.
Whoa. Where'd the Barbies go?
Are you the little lady who wants the Barbie costume?
I'm not a little lady.
Damn right.
Sorry, ma'am. None left. The early bird gets the...
Clean up, aisle 13.
Gotta run, ladies.
Clean up, aisle 13.
I need a Halloween miracle.
Why don't you pray to Barbie?
Oh my God, great idea. I've worshipped her my whole life. Dear Heavenly Barbie, please hear my prayer. Oh, great and powerful Barbie, please help me make my daughter's wish come true. Who are you?
Are you freaking kidding me with that? First time ever someone's prayed to me. The real me, anyway. Thought that was worth showing up for.
Wait a minute. You're not the real Barbie.
The hell I'm not.
But you're larger than...
You got a problem with that? Oh, of course you do. It started when you were 6.
But you've got plain, wavy brown hair. Ooh, with gray streaks.
Ooh, this one's a genius, yeah? Very observant. Pleased to meet you. I'm real Barbie.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
You're the real Barbie?
In the flesh. They've been keeping me locked up for decades. God forbid girls should grow up feeling good about their true, unadulterated selves. Take a good look, hon. This is what a real woman looks like. Nothing to be afraid of. Do yourself a favor. Give your kids something else to play with.
But I...
Trust me, she'll have a much better life, honey.
I love you, Barbie.
My first convert. That's cool. See you awesome, worthy women later. Hopefully by then you'll be wearing comfy shoes and your real hair.
Real Barbie. Wow. Thank you, real Barbie. I'll try to let my freak flag fly.
Nothing freaky about you doing you.
From now on, I'm asking myself, what would real Barbie do? Oh, wait, I know.
You're getting the Ruth Bader Ginsburg costume?
This one's for you, real Barbie.
What is that? Smoke? Smells like somebody's got a cheery little campfire going. Oh, I'm jonesing for a s'more. I wonder who it could be.
Hey there, dude.
Wow! As I live and breathe, it's Nancy Pearl, infamous librarian! What are you doing? Having a weenie roast?
Nope, I'm having a good old-fashioned book burning.
What? You?
Yep, I'm starting with the story of O.
Well, why?
It's so dirty.
Uh-huh.
And here goes George and Lizzie.
But Nancy, you wrote that one. It's your first novel.
Yeah, and it's really, really dirty.
What else?
Say goodbye to Huckleberry Finn. Too racist.
Oh, I've been meaning to read that.
I'll save you the trouble. And here goes Catcher in the Rye. Too much gosh darn profanity.
Can I try?
Of course. It's fun.
I'm going to add the Walking Dead comic book series. So depressing.
Technically... those are graphic novels, not comics. But who cares? Good call.
Thanks, Nancy.
Here goes Everything by Dan Brown. Too blasphemous.
I'll see your Dan Brown and raise you Anne Rice.
Now you're getting in the spirit.
How about some Proust?
Marcel Proust?
Him too. Everybody feels so guilty about not finishing him.
Yeah, you're understanding. Book burning is all about making people feel good about themselves. I'm torching James Joyce's Ulysses because it doesn't make a lick of sense.
Say hasta la vista to Moby Dick. Too long.
Once you get started, it's hard to stop. Here goes Flowers in the Attic.
Well, that one's kind of fun.
Man Who Fell in Love with the Moon.
Oh, Pearl, slow down.
James Baldwin, Maya Angelou.
Oh, Nancy.
You're right. I don't have to choose between them. Both on the pyre.
I'm starting to get a little uncomfortable.
A People's History of the United States?
Oh, hold on, Nancy.
Ooh, and how about Fear by Bob Woodward?
Holy Fahrenheit 451!
Margaret Atwood! Seuss! Dawkins! All those effing 50 Shades books!
No! 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 Don't burn Clifford!
Dude, wake up!
Nancy Pearl, I just had a really bad dream where you were burning books. It was most unsettling.
That's crazy. I believe in a world where no one tells you what to read.
Nancy Pearl, you're a free speech rock star. You're the Pat Benatar of the First Amendment.
Thanks, dude, but it's going to take all of us to fight censorship. Most important thing you can do is keep on reading.
They can pry this book out of my cold, dead hands.
That's my boy. You want me to read you back to sleep?
Oh, yes, please.
All right, let's see. How they met. The night Lizzie and George met, it was at the Bolarama way out on Washtenaw. She was flying high on some awfully good weed because her heart was broken.
Wow. Let's hear it for Nancy Pearl!
That's a terrible nightmare. I'm glad Nancy didn't turn out to be a monster. And there's a lot of monsters out there. But, you know, many monsters are probably just misunderstood. Isn't that right, band?
Yeah, probably.
Some monsters just want to be loved.
Well, I'm a little dinosaur. I'm a little dinosaur. I'm a little dinosaur, but I'm planning to go away.
No, what?
Why are you away?
Now I'm real old now, don't you know? Born 10 billion years ago. But they don't like me enough here, and so I'm planning to go away. Children upon their lawns will wake up and wonder where I've gone. And the flies that buzz around where I now be, they're gonna have to get along without me. They'll say,
where's the little dinosaur?
I didn't think he'd really go. But we need him for stuff.
Well, where did he go?
He must have gone away. Oh no.
I can't stand
it. The dinosaur would come back.
Nobody tells any more good jokes since he's gone.
Everybody really likes you, little dinosaur. Don't go.
Yeah, they like you.
Every village needs a wise old woman. And here, in Gumford on the Floof, it's me. Tia McGee, or Auntie McGee as they likes to call me. Folks come to me with their problems.
Auntie McGee, you've got to help. The dead have risen from their graves.
We've tried everything, but they won't go back. They're wandering the streets, blocking traffic.
You! Hush! Challenge them to a game of pinochle. Tell them if they lose, they have to go back to the earth.
But what if they win?
The dead are terrible card players. If you lose, it's your own damn fault. Now get.
Thanks, Auntie!
Auntie McGee, the animals!
What about them?
They've been coupling each with the other.
And having youngins.
My sheep and my duck have a litter of woolly feathered shucks and deeps.
Well, gather those sexually adventurous beasts together, look them right in the eye, and tell them that they ought to be fierce ashamed of themselves, that what they're doing is dirty and disgusting. Ooh, a good scolding will set them straight. Now get.
Thanks, Auntie.
Tia, Auntie McGee.
What is it this time?
The tide rolled out this morning and hasn't come back in. It was due hours ago and there's no sign of it.
Ooh, sounds like the moon is up to her old tricks. I'll take care of it. Now get along.
Thanks, Auntie.
I'll just give the moon a quick phone call and...
Auntie McGee.
Grace, dear child, you startled me.
I have a problem.
And I have business hours, 10 to 6, unless there is an urgency.
I think there is an urgency.
Well, come on in then. What's the sitch?
Tonight, around supper time, I was alone. Mother and father were still at the mill. There was a knock at the door.
Did you answer it?
I...
How old are you?
16.
Girl your age should know a knock spells trouble. Wolves knock.
Hello, Grace.
It was Mr. Stations.
The social studies teacher at the high school.
Good evening, Mr. Stations.
I want you to give me a haircut.
Why?
It's grown down to my eyes. It's too long.
I meant, why me?
Your sister, Shelley. She's over at the vocational school studying hairdressing, isn't she?
She is at the Votech, but she's studying car repair, wants to be a mechanic.
Doesn't matter. I brought my own scissors.
I can see that, but I don't cut hair.
My hair has very little curl. It's a little wavy on the sides, but it should be a simple task. Won't take long.
Oh, child! What did you do next?
I had heard talk about around the village about Mr. Stations. It never stops at just a haircut, does it? And I don't want to end up 16 and pregnant, so I used his scissors. And pierced his heart. He died with a leer on his lips.
Yes. First thing we must deal with is his body.
I cut him up and put the bits in a baby buggy. It's parked out front.
I'll hide the corpse where they won't ever find it.
Where is that?
In plain sight. But that's the easy part. He has gone and turned you into a monster.
What? I killed him before he touched me.
Yes. And you feel no remorse.
Not a bit. I suppose I am a monster, aren't I?
Sorry, love. Well, let's get to it. You're a monster. Time to start looking like one. Monsters are quite often green. Oh, you had such a nice complexion. Shame, really?
Oh, that tickles a bit.
There, and oh, you're much too short.
Beg your pardon?
For a monster. Oh, 7 feet. Oh, that's right. Now, we'll swap your dainty hands for nice, sharp claws. A couple of horns. A tail or no tail?
In for a penny, in for a pound. Bring on the tail.
Oh, now you're a right proper monster.
What now? What do I do? Can't go back to high school looking like this.
Yes. Well, you'll need a good monster job. Do you fancy guarding a bridge?
That sounds a little dull.
Would you like to hide under the beds of children?
I'm not very good with kids.
I can't say as I blame you.
Is haunting an option?
Oh, that's ghosts, dearie. You'll want a thing more marauding than haunting.
Can it involve attacking?
Your claws aren't for cutting bread.
What about a lover's kiss? Will that change me back?
A lover's kiss is its own reward, and I encourage them, but it won't turn you back into a human.
I was planning on college. I'm guessing that's not going to happen.
Yes, dear, out of the question. But not because you're a monster, but because it's so blinkin' expensive these days.
Could I menace an opera house?
An opera house gig or anything arts-related? That's a tough position to land. Monsters who get those tend to hang on to them for life.
Pity that.
Oh, how about a Walmart? They're always in need of a monster.
Retail? That just feels like settling.
Oh, young people, you're just too good for... Look, do you want to just go off and make your own way?
Yeah, probably the best option. When I woke up this morning, this is not where I expected to be.
That's life for you. But more important, one final bit of business. I've got to hand off narrator duties.
But you've been doing such a good job at it.
Yes, but I'm not going with you, love. Give it a whirl. Start with, and so...
And so I left the old woman and made my way off into the world.
Brilliant!
I walked and I walked. I don't know for how long, but at least 20 or 30 minutes. I spied a pool of water and took a moment to gaze at my reflection. Oh, much worse than I expected, but still very much me.
Hello.
Oh, you startled me.
I'm sorry, didn't mean to.
Shouldn't you be frightened of me?
Why? Because you're a monster?
Yeah.
Well, as a rule, monsters don't tend to be scared of other monsters.
Oh, look at your scaly self. You're a monster, too.
Yes, I can breathe fire. But I'm not a dragon.
I'm Grace.
Hello, Grace. They call me Ignitz.
Oh, Ignitz. I'm terribly new at being a monster. Don't quite know what to do with myself.
Oh, it's not so hard. I usually wake up, drink tea, and write my dream journal for about an hour or two, and then I like to find a small village or maybe a park and ride, and then I run around making a lot of noise, scaring the dickens out of folks, breaking shit, that sort of thing.
Do people ever get hurt?
Well, people get hurt all the time, with or without monsters causing a ruckus.
Do you ever hurt people on purpose?
When I'm running around making a lot of noise, a lot of things happen. I don't mean to happen, but that's just me being me.
I guess there's a lot about being a monster I don't understand.
Understanding is overrated. You don't gotta understand everything. If we had to understand everything before doing anything, we'd never leave the house. Not that monsters live in houses. We don't. We don't live in houses.
Oh. I don't think I've ever stayed outside all night long.
So you've never seen the moon or stars?
No. I have seen the moon and I have seen the stars, just never after about 10 o'clock.
So you've never seen it when they clean the moon?
I was pretty sure he'd made that up, about cleaning the moon.
I did not.
Oh, sorry, I thought I was doing my narrator voice.
Nope. You said it right out loud.
Monsters can't own a house or stay in a motel?
Motels need credit cards. Monsters can't have credit cards.
Why?
We don't pay our bills.
Yeah, why would we? We're monsters.
Some monsters like to bite. Oh. If you wanted to bite me, it'd be okay.
I'm worried that if I started biting you, I might not stop.
That would be okay. I've been a monster for a long time. It's kind of played itself out. I'm ready to give being a ghost a try.
Monsters turn into ghosts when they die?
Well, technically a ghoul, but it's pretty much the same thing, except ghouls are louder and in color instead of black and white.
Can I start with your toes?
You want to bite my toes?
Like nobody's business.
Go for it!
And so I began to eat my new friend's toes. And I was alone again.
Tweet.
Hello, little bird.
Hello, monster.
Aren't you afraid of me?
Why do you think I'm way up here, perched out of reach of your nasty teeth?
I think I like you, bird. I mean, I don't know how much affection a monster is truly capable of, but my meager stash of felicity I give to you.
I've come to help you with your predicament.
I didn't know I had a predicament.
Word on the street is that you've been a little adrift since your metamorphosis. You lack purpose. You're looking for something to do.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
Well, I'm here to tell you, it looks like there is an opening on Team Eumenides.
What? The Eumenides? Wait, are you saying that I could be a fury? A primordial creature of vengeance and violent retribution?
Yeah! And given your experience, maybe you could specialize in guys who mess with dames. You game?
These claws weren't meant for slicing bread. But, I mean, do you think that there would be enough to do? Like, would there be steady work?
Oh, honey, you'll never go hungry.
Oh, I'm excited.
Me too.
Welcome again to Sandbox Radio's Vermin Notes.
Where we pause in our busy day and look at the filthy world we live in.
Today we look at the common crow.
Evil, malicious, smelly crows. And loud!
With their knife-sharp beaks. The crow's treacherous habits. Ow!
Oh, oh, goodness! The crows, a group of crows larger than five is a murder. Less than that is a manslaughter of crows.
I'm Delia Crow.
And I'm Fabian Crow.
Ah! And this is Human Notes.
You might think of humans as silly, wackadoodle, little featherless clowns.
The way they rush about, pointlessly squawking.
Pilates! Pilates!
Give me a double claw Moscow mule, extra foam, no gluten!
But they can be quite dangerous if left unchecked.
They'll put your eggs in a Denver omelet, given half a chance. Ooh.
But it is fascinating to hear their baffling, downright queer behaviors. Let's tune in.
I'm mad at you because Facebook, Facebook, Facebook!
Bigger, bigger, more! Development!
IKEA! IKEA! IKEA!
You're not my real dad, Carl.
They'll go on and on all day.
I'm louder, so I am winner.
You will want to be careful your fledglings don't pick up bad habits from people watching.
Carl, Carl, want a new Power Ranger Barbie gun? Now, asshole!
Tell your children that the gods took away humans' wings because of the appalling way they treat each other.
Shame, shame, hashtag shame.
Humans play a game called driving the car. They climb into metal boxes and speed about until they crash into each other. They seem to love it, but it makes them very angry. Maybe that's why they love it.
We aren't really sure why. It's a primate thing.
Silly city monkeys.
One thing humans excel at is making garbage.
Ooh, some of which is very tasty.
There is much debate in the crow community about whether or not to eliminate this invasive species.
In 2007, crows invented the smartphone in an effort to control and dampen human reproduction.
.com! .com!
Like!
Comment!
Shame! It's complicated!
Defriend! Defriend! Swipe starboard!
Once humanity is sufficiently weakened, we'll finish off the job by pecking out all their eyes.
Which are delicious, like meaty little grapes.
Until next time.
This has been Sandbox Radio's Human Notes, helping you to get to know the ridiculous world around you.
My eyes!
Hashtag...
My eyeballs!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Damon Arundel.
In the children's game hide and seek, the necessary skills are running, tracking, hiding, and observation. You run or hide from whomever is it to stay safe. In some versions, you can pretend it is a monster. The point of the game is to make it home. Home base, home safe, home free. At the conclusion of the game, no one was a monster. There was no need to hide. And we all went home safe. Children do not remain docked in the safe harbors of home for long. I tempted fate in spades, ventured out into the open seas of summer nights for bike rides alone in the dark. It was the same neighborhood I had ventured through in the daylight, but in New York, the night hangs over you like a hood. Wandering like Magellan, familiar landmarks faded into the shadows. I had only the streetlight stars to remind me of my place, to tell me how far I'd gone, and to guide me back home. When it rains, even the streetlights become sirens and abandon us in the dark. It was raining the night he didn't come home. Home, where you belong. If I cannot find home, I am lost. If I am lost, I do not belong. Monsters can smell you when you do not belong. Monsters kill those who are not home safe. Monsters do not know they are monsters. Monsters are afraid you want what they have. Monsters squint their eyes because they are too afraid to see and too afraid to close their eyes. Monsters only see what they are afraid of. Monsters do not know they are monsters. It is not a long stretch of the imagination to envision black pirates, violent marauders, pillaging. Somalian pirates were not a stretch for the average American mind, but to picture brown and black faces gracefully, peacefully sailing the open seas will take notice of the strain on your brain muscles, how reluctant you are to move beyond what you have previously seen, to let me belong, to let me come home. When you do not know you are afraid, you do not know you are a monster. When you do not know you are a monster, you see monsters everywhere. Imagine me, black man. Imagine me angry. Imagine me more than angry black man. Imagine me heartbroken. Imagine me angry and heartbroken that my anchor has touched down in every emotional port and I continue to sail, that I am whirlpool and shipwreck, tide pool and deserted island, that I am human. And I want to reach home safe. Imagine me coming home. Imagine me deserving to come home. Imagine you being safe by me being safe. It was a Tuesday when he set out to port. Sailors believe the only good day to set sail is Sunday. Tuesdays are not a day for homecoming. It was raining. He didn't even have the streetlight stars to guide him home. I wonder if he was whistling. If it was his innocent whistling that called the wind and brought a sea monster to him. Stars shine at us from far away. Monsters like far away. Stars are allowed to shine from far away. How do you reach home when your shining is a threat? He did not sail far. He was not lost. He was too close. He was no pirate, had pillaged no bounty, brown face in the open sea of the night, a star in the flesh. How do you get home when there is no safe? The monster's compass homed in on him. Monsters kill what does not belong. Imagine the monster driving the point home. The necessary skills to win at hide and seek are running, tracking, hiding, and observation.
Listen to my old man. hold me forever. I didn't sign up with you. I'm not a present for your friends to open. This boy's too young to be a singing. The blues. Oh, 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 oh. Well, goodbye, yellow brick road. The dogs of society howl. Can't plant me in your penthouse. I'm going back to my plow. Back to the howling old owl in the woods, hunting the hornyback toad. Where I finally found where my future beyond the yellow brick. What do you think you'll do, boy? That'll shoot down your plane. It'll take you a couple of vodka and tonics to get you on your feet again. Maybe you'll get a replacement. There's plenty like me to be found. Mongrels who don't have a penny, sniffing for tidbits like you on the where the dogs of society howl. You can't plant me in your penthouse. I'm going back to my plow. Back to the howling old owl in the woods, hunting the horny back. Future lies. I finally found where my future lies, beyond the yellow.
You're listening to Sandbox Radio. Subscribe to this podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher so you never miss an episode. You can also ask Alexa to play Sandbox Radio live on TuneIn and listen to our podcast archive on your Echo device. Tickets on sale now for our big New Year's Eve show, Sandbox Radio Resolutions, recording at ACT Theater on December 30th and featuring guests Lisa Koch, the Puget Soundworks Chorus, and more, including a special appearance by Seattle's Chief of Police, Carmen Best. Now back to part two of Here Be Monsters.
Welcome to the All Hallows Eve tour of Hanford Nuclear Reservation in beautiful Eastern Washington.
Hey, stupid young man, wake up. You're missing the tour.
What? Where am I?
Tasty imbecile. You're on a tour of the largest radioactive waste site in the Western Hemisphere. A virtual cauldron of sinister delights.
Oh, no. I was tossing back a couple with Jose and the band. Wait. Is that a broom?
Silence! Or I'll seal your mouth with wasp glue.
Out your window to the left, behold the golf ball. Ooh. Where we stored waste so hot, the airspace above was off limits to airplanes, ghosts, and even witches.
Boo! Boo!
Man, I don't know about this tour.
Quiet, you dense morsel.
Oh, delicious.
To right, we have the infamous plutonium burial grounds. Humongous vats of plutonium were poured directly into open trenches. What does he mean, humongous vats? How much waste is under this place?
Have you seen Lake Washington?
Yeah?
Imagine two of those poured directly into the ground. Now that's some serious double toil and trouble.
Hey, witch lady, I don't think that's funny.
Take a chill pill, peon. It'll be years before it hits the Columbia.
Now, for the highlight of Halloween tour, we go skinny dipping by the outflows. What did he say?
Off with those jeans, you tempting piece of toast. Let's go.
No way.
Oh, is baby cakes afraid of a little nuclear waste? Oh.
I'm not getting off this bus, man.
Scaredy pod, scaredy pod, scaredy pod.
Let go of me! Humongous vats of plutonium.
Have you seen Lake Washington?
It'll be years before it hits the Columbia.
Scary pants, scary pants, scary pants.
Hey, dude, wake up.
No, I'm staying on the damn bus.
What bus? You're at the Bathhouse Theater.
What? Oh, man. Penelope, I had a Hanford nightmare.
Well, no wonder. Hanford's been in the news again. The Department of Energy is requesting even more time to empty some of Hanford's leaky underground waste storage tanks.
Oh, no!
Yeah, it's already taken years. There are 177 tanks, most with a capacity of 1 million gallons.
That's terrible! What do we do?
Let's check HanfordChallenge.org. They've got all of the up-to-date news and information on how to contribute to keep the cleanup on track and effective.
Hanford Challenge. That's right. Anything to avoid skinny dipping by the outflows.
Scaredy pants.
Penelope.
Find out what you can do about the nightmare in Washington's own backyard. Visit HanfordChallenge.org today.
Oh!
was brillig. And the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wave.
Whee!
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 All mimsy were the borogroves. And the mome wraths outgrabe.
Beware the Jabberwock, my son. The jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jub-Jub bird. And shun the Frumious Bandersnatch.
Took his vorpal sword in hand. Long time the manxome foe he sought, so rested he by the tum-tum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock, with eyes of flame, came whiffling through the tulgey wood, and burbled as it came. One, two, one, two, and through, and through. The vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head, he went galumphing back.
And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy, O frabjous day! Calloo, callay! He chortled in his joy.
Was brillig. And the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogroves. And the mome wraths outgrabe.
Thank you.
Are you sure this is the right way to go?
Am I sure?
That's what I asked.
Am I sure?
I mean, how do you know?
We're headed north.
How can you tell? It's not like you can see the stars.
North is up. We're going up.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, north might be up on a map, but we're on land. We're three-dimensional.
I have a compass.
You think that thing still works right in these conditions?
It's based on Earth's magnetic field, Charlie.
Which could have been altered in the midst of...
Seriously, we're gonna stop and debate this?
I'm not debating. I just...
I'm doing the best I can, okay? Now, can we please keep moving?
I'm tired.
We need to keep going.
Just for a sec.
It's not safe to stop.
How do you know that?
Why do you keep questioning me?
I just...
Look behind us. Look where we've left. What do you see?
Okay.
No, seriously, what do you see back there? Describe it.
A dark cloud of death and destruction.
Exactly. But we are not in that cloud anymore, are we?
No.
So, which seems better to you?
Jordan.
No, I'm not going to argue about this. Listen to me. I made a promise.
I know, but...
Dad said, if there's ever a nuclear war, you get Charlie and you get yourselves to Greenland and I will meet you there.
You know, that's crazy, right?
Which part? The fact that we're actually living through the apocalypse? Because...
No, that... I mean, yes, that is pretty crazy.
Dad's doomsday talk seemed a whole lot less crazy once Trump took office.
Oh, God, let's not even... I mean, yes, but... This promise. First of all, what were you, like 7 years old when Dad said that?
Thereabouts.
Who tells a 7-year-old to be in charge of getting a couple of kids to Greenland in the middle of the apocalypse?
Do you really need me to explain our father to you?
Exactly! This is the same man who told us he was Louis Couture's reincarnated. The Sun King. I mean, what makes you think he was even serious?
Oh, he was serious, all right. Don't you remember the bunker he built in the backyard of that commune house he lived in right after the divorce?
Okay. Second of all, that was a long time ago. Even if he was serious back then, what makes you think he still remembers
that's
now?
That's the whole point of having an emergency plan. So it's in place. When the emergency happens, it doesn't have a time limit.
So you really think Dad is on his way to Greenland?
For all I know, he's already there. He probably saw the warning signs long before we did.
Then why didn't he warn us?
Look, can we keep moving while we have this debate?
Except you still haven't answered my first question. How can you be sure this is the right direction?
Do you have a different idea of which way to go?
No, I just...
So let's keep going.
How long do you think it's going to take to get to Greenland from here?
It'll take as long as it takes.
Well, there's another dadism.
What do you want me to tell you, Charlie? I have no idea how long it's going to take. I don't know what kind of obstacles we're going to run counter along the way. We just need to keep moving.
How are we going to get food and water? What you've got in that backpack isn't going to last us much longer.
We'll have to forage.
Forage? What about... Where are we going to sleep? We're going to have to stop and sleep sometimes. More than just these little naps you've been giving us.
We'll find shelter.
How?
A cave or an abandoned house or... No! I never prepared a detailed plan for how to get us to Greenland. I regret that now, okay? Are you happy?
I'm just saying...
It's not like I didn't try, all right? I earned my wilderness survival badge when I was a scout. I know the 7 priorities. First aid, shelter, fire, signals, water, positive mental attitude. The challenge is...
That's only 6.
What?
You said there are 7 priorities. No. You only named 6.
The 7th is food, but it's lowest on the list, and I know how you get about eating, so I don't want you to fixate on it, okay? A person can live for weeks without food.
You expect me to live for weeks
without... But only a few days without water. and even less than that without a positive attitude. That's the most crucial.
Positive attitude.
Yes. I know you think that sounds stupid, but it's not. We need to stay calm and collected. Fear and panic are the enemy. A positive mental state can combat those enemies.
So you can control them instead of letting them control you.
Right.
Now you really do sound like Dad. But I have a feeling a nuclear holocaust exceeds even his expectations of prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Oh my God, would you give it a rest already?
I'm just saying...
Yes, I heard you the first time, Charlie. Look around you. Civilization as we know it is over. We have no idea what's out there or what might happen next.
Exactly!
So in times of crisis, you keep your wits about you, make the best decisions you can, and move forward. That's all we can do.
Jordan, do you even know where Greenland is? Besides North, I mean.
It's between the Arctic and Atlantic Oceans. It's the world's largest island.
Bigger than Australia?
Australia is a continent. Greenland is part of North America, geographically.
Seriously?
You asked.
Huh? All right. Well, say we do make it to Greenland.
We will.
Okay, say we do. How are we supposed to find our father on the world's largest island once we get there? Did he give you any more specifics to go on? A town? An address? Or are we supposed to just wander around calling his name?
We'll find him.
How?
It's the least densely populated country in the world. There aren't that many places where he could be.
You know what statistic I know about Greenland? I mean, not that I ever really wanted to know anything about Greenland,
what?
But has the world's largest and highest suicide rate. The country with the lowest population has the most suicides. What do you have to say about that?
I think the apocalypse basically throws suicide rates out the window.
Positive mental attitude.
So what, Charlie? You think we should go back?
Maybe.
Where? Who or what do you think there is to go back to?
Well, it's not like we know what we're going towards.
So that's a reason not to try?
Is your reasoning any better? Dad made you make this promise, and I'm supposed to just go along without question because you're older, and that's what I'm always expected to do. Just blindly follow and do whatever you say. We're not kids anymore, Jordan. In case you haven't noticed, I am an autonomous human being with a mind of my own.
I know you are.
Think of all the other crap Dad pulled on us when we were kids. Like having you teach me how to drive.
When I hadn't even got my own license yet.
And telling us seatbelts were for sissies. Or the first time we flew alone and got stranded at the airport overnight.
He dropped us off to fly back to Mom's and never even checked to see if we made it out when the storm hit. No money, no phone. I stole packets of ketchup from the McDonald's counter to feed you when he got hungry.
Remember how he said your peanut allergy was all in your mind?
Until he forced me to eat that sandwich and I went into anaphylactic shock.
And this is the guy whose advice we're taking in a time of crisis! This is the guy we're risking our lives to go and find.
But what if he's right?
About Greenland.
I mean, he wasn't an extremist for no reason. He had all those government jobs where no one really knew what he did, didn't he? He might have actually known something we didn't, that we don't. What if Greenland really is the right place to be now, and we don't go out of what? Misplaced childhood rebellion?
Or, what if this is just one more screwed up way for him to exert his control over us.
What do you want from me, Charlie? I know this is crazy. I know this is stupid. That it was a ridiculous thing to say to an impressionable 7-year-old kid, let alone make that kid prompt. I know, all right? What kind of parent does that? Without giving any kind of instructions or help or... Why do you think I earned that survival badge? Why did I become a scout in the first place? Why did I do all those school research reports on Grayland? Because he gave me a responsibility to take care of you. You don't understand. Your job was just to follow, but I was always supposed to keep you safe and alive and to get you to Greenland if there was ever a nuclear holocaust. And whether he really thought there was ever going to be a nuclear holocaust or not, it doesn't matter because now we're here. We're in it. And you are the only sibling I've got. And for all I know, the only family I have left, maybe even the only other person still alive in the whole world. I don't know. I don't know anything except that I am going to Greenland and I'm taking you with me. All right? Look around. There's only darkness behind us. There might be light ahead. Which way do you want to go?
Jordan?
What?
I think I see it.
See what?
Look. That light. Way up in the distance. Do you see? I think it could be Greenland.
Really?
I think it might.
Greenland. Okay, then.
Okay.
Let's go.
Thank you. Santa.
You're listening to Sandbox Radio.
The place, Seattle, Washington. The year is 2050. 15 years ago, in the summer of 35, a small local online retailer invents time travel for the sole purpose of being able to deliver packages to their customers before the customers even order them. The technology works, but the return process is thrown into chaos. When customers, instead of returning items they don't want, simply don't order them in the first place. This creates several tears in the space-time continuum, warping whole neighborhoods and creating our fair city's most famous landmark, the Troll Needle. Time travel is swiftly outlawed by the Sissy Pants Anti-Innovation City Council. And you all know the rest. When time travel is outlawed, only outlaws will travel through time. That's where I come in. I'm what they call a doc. When someone makes a temporal sidestep and screws something up, I make it all better. With my trusty quantum bop gun at my side, and the help of my young apprentice, Miss Molly Mercer, we make sure the history of Seattle stays in line and on time. The past can be a rowdy place, and besides, we'd all hate it if things turned out differently, wouldn't we?
It's time once again for Doc and Mercer's Mostly True History of Seattle. This week's episode, A City Sensible.
And Beautiful.
And Beautiful. By Elizabeth Heffron.
What is it?
Get up, Doc. It's an emergency.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding. Get out of bed.
Go away, Molly.
Good morning.
What? You just dumped me on the floor.
Here's your unitard. Hurry.
Oh, I hate this unitard.
Wow, Doc, you're getting good at putting that thing on.
Well, I'm a professional, Molly.
Ow.
Now, what's the emergency?
Listen.
I don't hear anything.
Exactly. No brakes screeching, no cars honking, no bright neon signs flashing in your windows, no drones buzzing by constantly. Look out the window!
Holy Gattaca, Molly. The entire city's been transformed. Calm traffic? Wide streets?
All oriented the same way? On the same directional grid?
Where's the Mercer Street mess?
Gone! And look at that verdant urban forest stretching from the city center to Lake Union. And the miles of underground subway.
Which we can't see from here.
No, but we know it's there because this is all so well planned and sensible.
Quick, shut the window, Molly. Something's not right. You think somebody's been messing with the space-time continuum again? Wait, you hear that?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Call me Ishmael.
I am an invisible man.
Mrs. Dalloway said she would buy the flowers herself.
Doc, isn't that...
Be still, my heart.
You don't suppose it's Nancy Pearl? That renegade writer-librarian you've been crushing on all over the known multiverse.
She must be riding her Pearl Collator on another quixotic tirade through time.
But how did she escape the digital Eastax detention facility?
Probably with a good index. There's nothing she can't overcome with her can-do, saucy attitude. We better check the space-time weave. Does anything seem to be unraveling?
Let me check. Nothing appears. I can't seem to locate. Oh, wait. There she is.
Where?
Seattle. Late October 1912.
Ooh. Grab the quantum bop gun and the bing bong, Molly. We better find out what Nancy Pearl is doing to turn Seattle into such a wonderland of calm and beauty.
And put a stop to it?
You got it. Quiet down, quiet down. Now, as you all know, the Municipal Plans Commission was tasked with developing a city comprehensive plan that would be most sensible and beautiful.
Sensible and beautiful?
Wow, Doc. This is a pretty big crowd for a planning meeting.
Seattle loves to plan, Molly. It's implementation that's the hard part. Any sign of Nancy?
Not yet.
There were only two things the state Supreme Court required when addressing the constitutionality of our new plan. It had to be developed by a nationally known consultant, and it had to be approved before a vote of the people.
But that's us, you fat cats!
What's the point of chopping off Queen Anne Hill?
Nobody's chopping off Queen Anne Hill.
You chopped off Denny Hill for the regrade.
Well, that has nothing to do with the Bogue plan. Quiet down! Now let's hear from the nationally recognized man himself. Give Virgil Bogue a rousing Seattle greeting.
Molly. Molly, I've never heard of this Virgil Bogue.
I'll check him out on the Bing Bong. Virgil Bogue, civil engineer and visionary. He designed both Seattle and Tacoma's waterfronts and railroad routes across the Cascades.
My friends, I am Virgil Bogue.
Oh, yeah? What makes you so famous, mister?
Among my many accomplishments, I named the city of Pasco.
What'd you call it?
Pasco.
After Cerro de Pasco in Peru.
Citizens, I personally stand behind the Bogue Plan, a comprehensive design that will allow Seattle to grow to 1 million inhabitants in a sensible and beautiful manner.
That's insane.
What about the mud? Yeah.
Imagine wide tree-lined boulevards and a radial Beaux-Arts Civic Center at 4th and Blanchard.
Check it, Doc. Look at his plan.
Well, it looks like Paris with all those trees and parks and large monuments.
Plus rapid subway transit lines connecting all parts of the city.
And what's this massive thing?
That's a Grand Central train station at the south end of Lake Union.
We'll link the outlying areas to Everett all the way to Tacoma.
Oh, Everett to Tacoma, you say?
That sounds too convenient.
Don't you see, citizens? It's now or never to define the future of our city. We're flush with gold rush money, booming with new immigrants, and we just annexed Ballard.
Maybe Nancy Pearl miscalculated her dates, Doc.
Not a chance. Listen, here she comes, riding in like a dream on her teapot library bicycle.
Hello! Hi there! Nice tie.
Whoa! Who's that?
Isn't she lovely?
Doc, remember what happened last time you two had a tete-a-tete?
Oh, well, that was in the 70s. We were both kids.
Hello, good people of Seattle. I understand you are here to determine the future of our city.
Madame, this is highly irregular.
Well, before you vote on the Bogue plan, may I make a few reading suggestions? Books that might help you to imagine and empathize with the future citizens who will share this place.
What? We gotta read something?
Cities are the crucibles of civilization, according to Jeffrey West.
Madam, I believe I, Virgil Bogue, am presenting the Bogue plan to these voters.
He's so full of himself.
Doc, don't get over-involved.
Have you told them you turned Mercer Island into a park four times the size of Sydney Park in Vancouver?
I was about to.
Citizens, might I suggest that you take a few minutes to peruse The Death and Life of Great American Cities by Jane Jacobs?
I'll take one of those.
Here you go.
Molly, what is she doing?
She's handing out books from the future.
Oh, no. She's trying to influence the vote.
We better put a stop to this, Doc.
Look, lady, I don't need to read a book to see you want us to vote yes. But they've got the new Civic Center going in at 4th and Blanchard. That's so far north.
And nobody's saying what it's all going to cost.
So what are we talking here? $1 million?
Of course, if you'd like a historical perspective on...
We'd better get her out of here, Doc.
I say enough beating around the bush. It's time to vote.
Pull out the quantum bop gun, Molly. On my signal, zap a time freeze.
A time freeze? Are you sure?
Molly, there's no time to argue with me. Just do it.
You got it.
Nancy Pearl! Put the books down. Slowly.
Whoa, who's the dandy in the unitard?
But, Doc, they're about to vote it down.
What the heck is going on?
Do it now, Molly!
What's happening?
Nancy Pearl, I've frozen time, and I'm commandeering the Percolator in the name of the future.
This is your last book recommendation in 1912.
But Doc, imagine what our city could have become if the citizens had only read these books before they voted.
You're a Panglossian, Nancy. I understand. It takes me back to our last encounter in 72 when you and I and a horde of barefoot hippies closed down I-5.
Doc.
We know it's tempting to go back and change things. And the Bogue plan was a great alt future. But you change one thing in the past and the entire space-time sweater unravels.
Oh, I do love a good knitting metaphor.
I know you do.
Watching human beings make the same mistake over and over again is just so heartbreaking.
Yep.
It reminds me of a wonderful book.
Oh, Molly, you were right. The time freeze is melting. We better jet.
All those opposed?
Don't forget the damn mud!
Yay! Hop on the percolator, Doc and Nancy. Let's get out of here.
I'm only going as far as 2018, you know.
Watch out, Molly! The viaduct's still up! Oh! Ow!
Sorry about that. 2018, Doc and I can bop gun from here.
Well, Doc, you foiled me again.
I know. I'm sorry.
Never be sorry. Love means never having to say you're sorry. There's actually a very bad book about that.
Oh, Nancy, sometimes I wish that...
Doc, the bop gun's loaded. 2050, here we come!
Fare thee well, Nancy.
Such a loon.
Well, Doc, we stopped her, and we're back where we belong. No!
Yes, I suppose we are.
Wait a minute. What's this I feel in my large unitard pocket?
Looks like a book.
A Tale of Two Cities. By Charles Dickens. A first edition, inscribed by the author.
What's it say?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Ain't that the truth?
Thanks, Nancy Pearl.
It's really been swell. It's really been great just to be with you on our sandbox date. Oh, say it ain't true. Oh, say it ain't so. That the show is done and it's time to go. Well, that's our show for tonight. Tonight's episode, the Sandbox Radio players were
Eric Ray Anderson,
Rebecca Olson,
Sean John Walsh,
Heather Hawkins,
Imogen Love,
Jason Moore,
Lisa Holland,
Charles Leggett,
Tracy Hughes,
Pilar O'Connell,
Andrew Litsky,
and Richard Zimon.
And I'm your host for Sandbox Radio, Leslie Law. Please give it up for the amazing guest tonight, Damon Darendel. And Nancy Pearl.
Tonight, the Sandbox Radio Orchestra was Chris Monroe on drums, Dave Pascal on the bass, Dave Marriott on the trombone, Charles Leggett on the harp, Joshua guitar, and on the keys our maestro and composer, the one and only Juicy Gonzalez.
Here Be Monsters was written by Rachel Atkins, Scott Augustin, Lisa Halpern, Elizabeth Heffron, and Lewis Carroll, with original music by Jose Juicy Gonzalez, and additional music and lyrics by Charles Leggett, Django Reinhardt, Jonathan Richman, Bernie Taupin, and Elton John. Our stage managers were Susie Butler and Shigeko Kalev-Nakano. And the show was mixed by Luke Kerwald and recorded by Brian Moynihan. The 2018 season of Sandbox Radio Live is funded in part by a generous grant by For Culture. We're gonna bring out our lyric cards because now's the time when we always love for you to sing along. Rebecca and Heather, come watch. Yep, there we go. Here they are. It's really been sad.
It's really been great just to be with you on a sandbox day. Oh, say it ain't true.
The show is done, and it's time to go out and vote, everybody.
Here Be Monsters was recorded in front of a live audience at the Bathhouse Theater in Seattle on October 29, 2018. The live show was sound engineered by Luke Kerwald, recorded by Brian Moynihan, and this podcast was mixed by Dave Pascal. Our stage managers were Susie Butler and Shigeko Kalev-Nakano, with technical support from Dave Hastings and the team at Seattle Public Theater. Find complete episode credits, upcoming live show information, and our podcast archive at sandboxradio.org. I'm your host for Sandbox Radio, Leslie Law. And on behalf of co-producer Richard Zyman and all of us here at Sandbox Radio, see you on December 30th for the next live show. And thanks for listening.